First off, I want to talk about the trade we made today where we traded Keith Ollie for Carter Ashton. And from our perspective, with Keith Ollie, we're trading away an asset we think is going to have a real good NHL career. He's big, he can skate, he's a great kid. And I want to thank Keith for what he did for us as a member of this organization and wish him well. He's a good man. With Carter, we feel we've got some depth on D, and we felt we needed to add some size with foot speed up front. He's a big body guy that can skate. He's got some finish. He's also got some sand. And from our perspective, this is a player that's going to be an important player for us down the road. Our scouts have been pushing this guy on me for a while, and we were able to make those pieces come together. We feel the emergence of a couple guys with the Marlies, as well as a couple of the draft picks we've had in the last couple of years, made this trade possible, give us enough depth on D to justify the trade. As far as the deadline goes, I think you all know I don't like the trade deadline. I try to do my deals in advance, so this process began in earnest for us about 8 weeks ago, where we tried to identify an opportunity to add to our group. We weren't able to do it coming into the deadline, and we weren't able to do it today. We had numerous opportunities to trade players, numerous offers on players that would have involved futures, draft picks, guys down the road, and we feel we've worked too hard in the last 3 years to add organizational depth to change that blueprint right now. We're on the lookout for something that can make us better and add to the group, but it didn't materialize. And I think some people will be disappointed in that, but I'm not. From my perspective, all the teams that we're chasing or are in the hunt with us took people out of their room and brought people in they thought could do the job better. We elected not to do that. So if I'm a member of the Leafs, I look at this as an endorsement from management that this group is capable of making the playoffs. And you know, I didn't want to take a guy who'd been with us and sweat it all year and replace him with someone else and say thanks for all the hard work, thanks for getting us in the hunt, but I'm shipping you out. So we got numerous offers. Usual suspects, all the ones you read about. But we've worked too hard to get these guys here. And despite our recent stumble, we believe in this group. And we believe that this group is capable of making the playoffs. On the goaltender front, as I said last week, we felt we had to at least listen on the goaltender front. Nothing presented itself. We were presented with a trade offer 3 days ago on James Reimer, which was rejected immediately. From my perspective, James Reimer is the real deal, despite the fact he's scuffling a little bit right now. And we wouldn't be in the hunt if it weren't for Jonas Gustafsson. He's the reason that this team is in the hunt. He has bailed us out twice when James got hurt. And when James stumbled midseason, the monster's been the reason we've been able to stay in the hunt. And we are very much alive in that hunt now. So with James, you know, we believe he's going to be a real good NHL goaltender. Obviously, as I said, he's scuffling a bit right now. But we believe he's a key asset for us in the future. Questions?
Brian, I don't think anybody would disagree that your team is moving in the right direction. But when you were looking to add to the group, what specifically does this group need to take the next step?
Well, I don't think they need anything. If you go back, it's been like a roller coaster ride our season. There are times when we've dominated, where we've been the best team in the East, and there are times when we haven't. When we play our game and move the puck and have the puck and use our speed, I think we can play with just about anybody. When we get away from our game, we get into trouble. So what we were looking for is see if we could add a little size in the top six group. Our group is a little bit small. We weren't able to do that.
Brian, Ron was saying recently that, you know, there have been a lot of distractions regarding the rumors going around. I know it's not an excuse, but could you see it that the guys were maybe a little bit affected, a little bothered by what's all the stuff going on here?
It's to the point where I'm debating doing the same thing I do at Christmas with this group. I really am. And starting our own trade freeze 10 days before. That's how distracting it is. I'm wondering, we just had this discussion upstairs, and I'm wondering if we don't have to do that here. Because Clark MacArthur has been traded 10 times, Grabowski's been traded 12 times, Kuhlman's been traded, Luke Shen's been traded 50 times, and I think it's remarkable that the players have kept their focus through this time. I don't know. I think the trade deadline is hard on players, but I think it's murder on players in Toronto. And we just had a serious debate whether next year we're just going to do this 10 days earlier so our players can relax. I don't know if that's the right answer because I don't want to tie my hands if there's something we can do, but this is crazy here. It reminds me when they asked me about doing 24/7, I said, we already do it. It's 24/7 here now. So I don't know how a player can ignore all this stuff. And I don't know what we do about it. It's part of playing on a Canadian team. This is the hardest market to play in from that perspective. But we just had a serious discussion about whether we have to do the same thing we do at Christmas time here with the regular trade deadline.
Was there any numerous offers? Was anything close?
No. No, these are all the offers we got. We're to take players that we've acquired and believe in and move them for more future assets, high picks, good prospects, like real legitimate offers, nothing insulting. You get insulted a lot this time of year. You get offered stuff that you wonder if the guy's mad at you or has a grudge against you or if your dog bit his daughter or something. But none of that. These were legitimate offers, but they were all, we wait. Their team gets better and we wait. And I'm not interested in setting this process back. I'm not interested in that.
How legit was the supply of goaltending out there, Brian, in terms of maybe making your club better?
Nothing that we had to spend any time on at all.
Brian, what you said about your being in this market, do you think that profoundly affects your goaltenders more than anything?
I think when we go to get a player, we don't talk about whether he's an NHL player. We talk about whether he can play in Toronto. It is different here. And I'm not blaming the media or being critical. That's our life. And it's part of why people love this team is because of the coverage. And it's part of the reason why it's so special to play here. But there are times a year where it's a big millstone. And I think the goaltender position in particular, I don't think it's an easy place to play if you're a goaltender, if you struggle even a little bit. And, it's when we signed the monster, that's what we spent all the time on was, can he play in Toronto? Not can he be an NHL goaltender, but can he play in this market? And again, I'm not whining about this or complaining about it. It's what we do. It's where we live. But there's no question in my mind that there's times when this market, the pressure in the marketplace is a millstone, not an asset. I think there are other times when it's an asset.
Was this a unique trade deadline for you in terms of too many teams being buyers and still thinking they're in a race, not willing to give stuff up?
Well, that's part of the problem with parity in the three-point games. You can't distance yourself from anyone who's chasing you. You can't open up a gap on anyone who's chasing you if you're trying to move up. And, we've gone through just a dreadful spell here, and we're still very much alive. I think that's the number one thing. But again, we started early knowing that would happen, knowing that that's been the trend in the NHL and the hard cap system, and had no luck.
How much consideration was it given to the Steve Nash equation?
Well, we're not allowed to talk about players that are under contract to other teams. I think that particular situation log-jammed a lot of other deals. I think it held up a lot of other deals because of the size of the potential deal and the scope of the player. But certainly we wouldn't comment on whether we were involved or not.
Brian, to the Leaf fan who's disappointed that you weren't able to bring in NHL help, what do you say to that fan?
I say that we're sticking to the blueprint here. In my mind, there is nothing that we could have done today that made us better now. It was all stuff that would have made us better maybe down the road. And our fans have lived through that. We got to see if this group's good enough to get in and keep the assets.
Will there be a greater emphasis, do you think, now on the coaching staff and what they're able to accomplish down the road? I know you signed the one extra year, but if they don't get this group into the playoffs, could it?
Well, if we don't get into the playoffs, I'm sure that a lot of things have to be looked at. But that's not something we're focused on today. We have not had a discussion about a coaching change. That's a very popular topic in your circle, not in mine.
Is it more difficult to stick with that blueprint given the way things have gone the last two or three weeks? Do you have to sort of force yourself to say, hey, we can't panic here?
You can't. Panic can't be part of the vocabulary if you're a general manager. If you want to win a championship, that can't be part of it. Setbacks for 10 days or 12 days, that can't be how you guide the ship. You can't change your course because you have 10 bad days out of 180 or 190 days in the season. You can't. And I don't. I still believe that this group can get it back on the rails. The schedule favors us in terms of the teams that we play. We have control over whether we get in the playoffs or not. We play enough teams that we're battling with that we have control over that. So panic can't be part of it. I mean, that's hopefully something that's gone from my vocabulary years ago.
Brian, you've got a fairly strong Marlies team in terms of how it's situated for the playoffs. In your mind, how important would be a long Calder Cup playoff?
Well, I think winning and losing are both habits that can be learned, and I think there's tremendous value on having playoff experience at any level. And to me, I think an NHL player that's gone through AHL playoff development benefits from that. So I think it's critical, and it's certainly something we've kept our eye on through the day as far as opportunities to upgrade the Marlies as well. So from our perspective, yes, that's important. I think people forget in Anaheim, we played in 14 playoff rounds in 3 years. The big club played in 8, and the Portland Pirates played in 6. And I think that was critical. We lost in the conference finals my first year there, and I sent the next day, I sent Getzlaff and Perry down to play in a game 7 in the conference finals in the Calder Cup. So I place great value on that level of experience.
Was the Jake Gardner move just a paper move so he can be qualified?
Correct.
Same
with Matthew Yep.
How much, there's been a lot of speculation. How much interest was there in Jake when teams came to you?
Well, there were short conversations. You know, it's a short conversation. Is Jake Gardner a guy you'd move? No, move on. I mean, I think what you're seeing with Jake is a guy with a special set of gifts, and we don't know where that goes from here. Is he Duncan Keith? Is he Chris Letang? I don't want to put pressure on him saying, well, he looks like this guy or that guy, but clearly this is a guy with an exceptional skill set, and he wasn't going anywhere. And we had to trade for this player. This isn't a guy we stumbled on in the draft. We had to go out and get him. So, feel the same way about a bunch of the young players. I feel that way about Matt Fratton. I think that's a Fergie draft. You know, extremely bright future with us. 207 pounds, likes to bang, can score goals, good foot speed. You know, if I trade Matt Fratton, the next 5 drafts, I sit down with the scouts and I say, find me another Matt Fratton.
Where do you expect negotiations to go with Mikhail?
Well, we had some talks with his agent. It's not a done deal, but we're pretty comfortable being able to sign him.
Before the
year's over, yeah.
How does trading Ollie affect the future of Holzer?
Well, we think Holzer is ready to play, and another Fergie draft, and this kid has really had a great year as far as his development. He's a big, wide-bodied, right-shot defenseman, stay at home, nothing flashy, but he's played extremely well. We think he's ready to play. If we'd gotten in a situation where we could have moved a defenseman at the NHL level and gotten back an asset that made us better up front, we would have considered that because of Corbinian Holzer's development.
And before Marley call-ups, but the roster stays?
For now, yeah.
Anybody else? We're going to break off.
Okay. Right now. Thanks, folks.